Every year, the first Sunday of Lent takes us into the desert to mark, in a rather brief way, to remind us of what Christ did as a teacher. I mean, he experienced it, but he was also teaching us that sometimes you have to go into the desert to hear the voice of the Lord and to struggle with temptation and to turn away from sin. And that's what Lent is for us. It's us trying to imitate the Lord by going into our own desert, because the desert is different for each one of us. So we give up something that's so important. We live in a culture of such excess that in a particular way, we absolutely need to have something that we deny ourselves in Lent. But it's not just the sake of denial, but it's so that we can have a greater capacity for Christ. Because there are so many things that dominate our lives that have nothing to do with Christ, which doesn't mean they're all evil by any means, but they dominate our lives. How often do we think, I don't give enough time to the Lord? We know it, but we don't do anything about it. And Lent's supposed to help us to recalibrate so that we not only have a capacity for Christ, but that we actually seek Christ above all things. Because that's the Christian way of living. The psalm said it quite beautifully. Your ways, O Lord, are love and truth to those who keep your covenant. Your ways are love and truth for those who keep your covenant. And we have been invited into that covenant through no good grace or goodness of on our own, but only through the grace of God, through baptism. And today, in a particular way, at this Mass, we think about baptism because we have several of our people in RCIA who are preparing imminently for baptism. And as Catholics, it's good for us to recall a few truths about this most important sacrament. It's not the greatest sacrament, St. Thomas says, but it's the most important because it's the gateway. No baptism, no other sacrament. Because baptism unleashes the ability of the soul, that is, God has created in such a way that it can handle his grace, his love and his life, which is way beyond what the soul is, because our human soul is not divine, but grace is. And so we always, I think, instinctively remember about baptism that it washes away original sin, and it does. But it also washes away actual sin. For our catechumens who are seeking baptism, all the sins that they've ever committed will be washed away in that font on the Easter Vigil. And all the punishment due those sins. But baptism doesn't just take something away. It also floods the soul with grace and with the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. It makes us children of God. It incorporates us into the body of Christ, which is the church. It unites us to every baptized person on earth, in purgatory, and in heaven. The communion of saints. We become a member of the communion of saints. And it's a foreshadowing of where we should go, which is heaven. And in a particular way, it also connects us through Christ, and it connects us to Christ, to his suffering, death, and resurrection. Hence, the threefold pouring of the water over the forehead is to remind us that the Lord was crucified, died, and buried, and rose from the dead. So when we think about this most important sacrament, it can't be separated, though, from the most excellent sacrament, because baptism is not the only sacrament, as you all know, but it points us again to another sacrament, which is actually confirmation. And for our candidates and catechumens, the catechumens will be baptized. The candidates are those seeking full communion with the Catholic Church. And after they make their profession of faith, then all the catechumens and candidates will be confirmed. And that points us to the most excellent sacrament, which is the Most Holy Eucharist. The Most Holy Eucharist is the fulfillment of the sacraments of initiation. It brings everything to completion, and it, as we know, is something that we receive as often as we're in a state of grace and have fasted for the requisite time. And the whole goal of Holy Communion is to help us to be transformed more and more into those people who keep the covenant of God. And that covenant is something that we fulfill with love and joy. And so as we start out Lent, going into our, in a certain sense, our personal desert, as we try to deny ourselves, to have a greater capacity for Christ, we also want to recall Christ. We want to have that heart filled with his grace. And sometimes, as I suspect if you're like me, you're not always that interested. I don't mean that to be flippant, but sometimes we really think about other things than Christ. And so what do we do in those times? Well, I think the best thing to do is to take all of the tools and weapons of the devil and turn them on his head, on their head. Because that's always what the devil's trying to do, to get us to be preoccupied, to get us to think that we don't really need Christ, or that I'm too busy for Christ, or whatever it is that I use to make less time for the Lord, and then turn it into a prayer. Lord, help me to desire to pray. Lord, help me desire to open my heart to you. Lord, help me desire to be your faithful son or daughter. And of course, all that does not happen just because you say it, but it's a first step. And we have to keep those prayers in the forefront of our mind as we're in the middle of the desert, because we can very quickly focus on what we don't have in the desert. I gave up this, and I gave up this, and I gave up this, and I want this and this and this. No, I want Christ. And I don't only want him now in the desert, but I want him always. So finally, Lord, help me live for you.